CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Ah, yes, it is. It's the familiar face of Mashiane. It's the familiar face of none other than Malcolm Dlouli. And it's hopefully my familiar face this morning. It is Tuesday and the last day of January in 2023. Can you believe that? Good morning. Yeah, how's it, Mark? How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Gareth? Good morning to all the listeners. Morning, yeah. Mash. Great to be on. Thanks for having me in this new era of Cliff Central.
Oh, you saw our new space yesterday. I don't know if you got a chance to watch.
I'm obsessed with it because when Dory asked me to do the show this morning, I was like, oh, am I going to get to go to the house? And she's like, no, the studio is not ready yet. And I was like, oh, man, I guess I'll do the show. But yeah, no, it's still awesome to be on, but I'm really, really looking forward to go to that house. Apparently, you guys have a pool.
Mm-hmm. No, we got it. Oh, yeah.
Content for days, pool parties at Cliff Central House.
That's the plan. I mean, I love it. It sort of looks like, it looks like one of those Hollywood houses from like Malibu or South Beach. Mm,
yes.
You know, it's like a Southern California type house.
And, yeah, that's the feeling I get. It's like very luxurious, very Joe Rogan-y.
Well, it's probably, I don't think it's to say too much, but like it is probably in the most expensive piece of land in Johannesburg because that whole area for about, what would you say, Mash, like three, four kilometers in kind of a,
yeah, about it's like 10 kilometer radius, just the,
maybe,
yeah, that area.
Maybe even 10.
It's rich.
The richest square mile in Africa.
We're like walking distance from Sandton City, and I suppose people put that down as the epicenter, right? So, if we lived in New York and we were in, you know, Central Park, you know, then we would be in walking distance of all the most expensive areas in New York. So I suppose it's like that, but, yeah, we will be doing more specials like we did yesterday, which was a real win and a great experiment. And just congratulations again to the team who managed to get it all together. They were all working hard and making sure that everything worked. And it was good to see kind of everything come together. And we had nice guests on yesterday. You know, Brian Habana, Aki, Solomon from markets.com. We had a really fun show. So it was great to, for two reasons it was great, because first of all, it was fun, obviously, to do the show from a new place. But also it was fun to do it with a client of ours. And we're going to be doing this with a lot of the people who work with us. And I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it really does look exciting. And can I just say, I know it might sound strange, from a young person in entertainment, but I'm so proud of you, Gareth, and what you've done, man. Like from going to where you went to pioneering something to it becoming successful to it becoming cool as well. That's like legendary status. So man, really, really well done. And I don't know if you know this, but Cliff Station is actually where my career started. I was doing a corporate job, at the business center just across the road from you guys or the old place. And I just hated it. Like my soul was dying. So I heard Cliff Central was down the road. So during my lunch break, I just walked over and, I just went in and I didn't know what the vibe was, but there was no security. I was like, okay, I guess it's really chill. It's really chill, don't you? So I just walked up and, I forgot who it was who greeted me. I don't know if it was Jane or Katlego. I think a cat still worked there. And I was like, no, I'm looking for a job. And she's like, I'm like, I'll do anything. I'll sweep the floors. I'll clean the bathrooms, whatever it takes. And she's like, oh, just take a seat. Would you like some water? Would you like some coffee? Somebody will be with you now. Guess who comes to be with me? It's fucking Rena Broomberg. And at that time, I didn't really know who she was. Like I had an idea, but I didn't know like the level of interview in inverted commas I was having at the time. And she literally asked me like, why do you think you'd be a good fit here? What have you done in entertainment? What education do you have? What work are you doing now? She literally like gave me an interview on the spot. And then I had a guest slot with Ari Kellerman And then after that, yeah, she just gave me a show to try with the worst guys. And yeah, the rest is history. So I really am so grateful for you and this platform. It's been real.
You're lucky you met her, because if you'd met with me, nothing would have happened.
I'm sure. That's what I was actually nervous about. I was like, fuck, I hope she's not calling Gareth right now. I'm not ready for this. But Rina was honestly like the kindest soul ever. She was just honestly asking me like, are you really ready for this? You know, and it was a very good question to ask, because this game is deep. But yeah, I'm really proud of you guys, and what a journey it's been, and how many memories from that old place. Oh my word.
Well, Pichleng is saying, Malcolm Dlulli is always outside or on the road somewhere. There's something Greta Thunberg inside him.
Yeah, dog, I've got stuff to do. I've got stuff to do, Pichleng. There's no time to waste.
You're always on the way to somewhere.
Yeah,
where are you off to today?
Yeah. No, today I'm taking it easy. I'm taking it easy. Yesterday I had a comedy show, so I'm just going to stay in today. The reason why I'm outside is because the signal is horrible inside, especially when load shedding hits. And I think our load shedding started at 6. So outside it's a bit better. We have a UPS, but it's like not as central to my room as the rest of the house. So yeah, I'm chilling outside, but I like the vibe. It makes me feel very South African. We'll hear the Hardy Dance now.
I like it. And you know what? While it's summer and it's beautiful, you should be outside. I mean, soon. I don't want to jinx things, but soon it's going to start getting darker and colder. And then before we know it, we're in winter. You know, so enjoy every
year. I love the summertime. I love the fact that the sun is only going down like 7:30. It makes me feel like I live in a movie.
That is cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I was just saying about the memories of Cliff Sessions. Just one thing that I don't think we talk about enough that happened at those studios that I really think the world should know more about was that live sex orgasm that Jonty Sill did.
Oh, no, everybody talks about that. Everybody.
Do they?
All the time.
I just feel like more people should know. That was honestly the craziest experience I've ever had in my life. And I learned a lot. I still use what I learned to that day. to this day.
Yeah, of course. Some people do. That's the only reason some people have a sex life.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I
Okay.
Yeah. That's all the right, only thing keeping some relationships alive. So,
So Mash, what's been happening with you? Because we need an update. You know, people always want to know what crazy shit's going down in your life. And because you've been so involved in the move and everything as well, maybe you didn't get up to any nonsense this weekend. But I'm fairly sure that there was some nonsense.
I did get up to a bit of nonsense. So this weekend was a really well-balanced weekend. I had a bit of craziness and then a bit of just calm, some calm time as well. So I started off my weekend on Friday. I actually get home from the office and then I open my Instagram. And I see a friend of mine in a pool. And I realize that, that's my pool. So I look out the window and he's literally in the pool and doesn't live in my complex. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't realize it's your complex. I was like, it is. So, So I ended up just hanging out with this friend of mine.
Was it a friend or was it a stalker? Because that sounds like a bit stalkery.
It's actually quite a close friend of mine. And he said absolutely nothing. So I was like, okay, very weird. Well, you just come to my place and just jump in the pool without saying anything to me, but it's fine. And I ended up hanging out with him.
Close friend of yours, but they don't know that you live there.
Yeah, it is. So he was actually visiting some other friends of his who live in the complex as well. And I ended up hanging out with them. And we hung out. Load shedding started and the one guy is like, the guy my friend was visiting is like, listen, let's go to my place, hang out, whatever. Cool, we go to his place to hang out. And as we get there, he opens the door, I turn on my flash because it doesn't have the load shedding light, the magneto. Which is weird, which is a weird thing for me. Like everybody should have one of those. But cool, we turn on our flashes and I just see little dots of brown and black just moving on the ground, and it's cockroaches, just so many cockroaches.
Jesus.
I I was so disgusted. And I tried my best to be as polite as possible. I really did. But I just stormed out. I just stormed out screaming.
This is inside the people's apartment.
Yes, this is inside the guy's apartment. We got to his place and it was just cockroaches running around. So I saw the first cockroach. I forgave it, started stomping on it with some other girl that we're with. We just started stomping on it. And then, cool, we killed it. And then another one just ran past in the other direction. Started stomping on that one as well. And then after we stomped on that, I saw another piece of black moving along the ground. And I was like, you know what? It's time to go. So I don't know if this was rude because my friend's been texting me going like, that was really rude of you. How dare you? Like, you don't even know my friend. But I just stormed out saying, you know what? Fuck this shit. I ain't gone hang out with cockroaches. And I never came back. So I want to find out, was this rude of me? Or how would you guys deal with this situation?
First of all, if people have like an infestation of cockroaches and you said you saw a whole bunch of them, you stood on like three, usually it's dirty people. I mean, you know, you're not cleaning up after you. Your kitchen, you're leaving a lot of stuff lying around. That's where the cockroaches come from. And listen, I mean, even really clean people do have, you know, like one or two cockroaches every now and then because they live around us. They're in our houses and everything. But if they are running around on the floor the whole time and they just get to do what they want, it's because you're a dirty person and you don't clean up.
Exactly.
100%. Exactly. I agree with that 100%. Hmm. Cockroaches only come to where there's dirt. It becomes a haven for them.
Right.
So now they're basically this place is chilled like this. Okay, you guys, let's bring some more people. Yo, there's a party up in this guy's house.
I want to quickly say, Mark was talking about Katlego, and here she is. She's in the comments. I hope to come back to Cliff Central someday after my travels. She's busy traveling. She's on like ships and So Kat, it would be lovely to see you. And when you are around.
Really good. What a throwback. Shout out, Kat.
You just mentioned her when you
said what are the odds? No, but Mesh, don't feel bad, dog. Don't feel bad. No, you had every right. Cause now he's going to give you beverages in a dirty glass.
Cockroaches rather in the damn glass. And then I'm going to drink out of it. And you know,
you and the cockroaches.
For me, there are degrees of comfort when it comes to such infestations. And for example, as soon as a light comes on and you just see a cockroach vanish under the fridge as fast as possible, it means it's uncomfortable in your home. But if lights come on and they're just lazing around, shaking their booties, just walking slowly.
They're twerking, cockroaches are twerking in the guy's house.
Exactly. It means they're comfortable. And why are they comfortable? Because you allow them to be. So you live together. It's like a communal living of you and your cockroaches. That is why I was disgusted. Absolutely no sense of urgency from these cockroaches.
Yeah, that's so gross. Ugh, it's so disgusting. Oh my God.
Absolutely disgusting. Yeah. So I'm never going back there again. And I don't care if I'm called rude or anything, but it was just disgusting.
Doesn't it worry you these people live in your complex? So they could be spreading the cockroaches to other parts of the complex where you live.
They can never spread it to my part of the complex. I take precautionary measures for such things. And that's what made me even more mad is that, Gareth, there are so many things we can do to prevent cockroaches or to even get rid of them. And the solutions are cheap. They cost as little as 50 rand. There was some powder I got from at the taxi rank some years ago when I lived in Germiston. It powder cost like 15 rand. I put it around the house and I had no more cockroaches. There's a cream that you can get from Checkers. It costs 50 rand. You just spread it. You just put it in like small dark crevices in your house and it prevents cockroaches. There are things that you can do that cost little minuscule amounts of money. You don't have to be rich in order to actually utilize these solutions. So the fact that you still have cockroaches with such cheap solutions available means that it is your own fault. You are a dirty person.
There's no excuse. No, you speak nothing but facts, Mash. Nothing but facts.
So, if I see a cockroach in your home, well, not just one, but
Not
I've seen
one.
multiple. If I see an infestation, a pool party of cockroaches, then I'm gonna have a problem and storm out and never come back.
Absolutely. Tracy says cockroaches can live without their heads for 7 days or something.
Sis, man. Hi, sis. Hi,
What
these
are you
people are
doing for those
disgusting.
7 days? Like,
Pool party. Hi.
virus may cool.
Ruth says, I once went to feed someone's pets one evening when they were away. These cockroaches were so big, when you turned on the light, the one turned around and said, "Hey, baby, can I help you?" They didn't scatter or run or anything. Oh, Subanda
I'm the
says, an ex.
captain now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Subanda says an ex of mine had big fat rats in her apartment. They would stare at me.
Like, not pets, like just rats chilling. There's no way she means like wild rats. If that's
My
it. It's
thing
not,
is,
surely it was a pet. Surely, surely, surely. I don't believe that there are human beings just chilling with rats. Okay, there can be, but that's next level. Cockroaches is one thing, but rats. I'll burn the house down.
Yeah,
Tell me.
rats are a big fat no-no. When I was looking
Nope.
for a place to stay, there was a place that I looked at. I'm not going to name it, but it's somewhere northern Joburg side. And this place, so Hello Peter's my best friend. Google reviews are my best friend. I use Hello Peter for everything, restaurants, everything. You got to know the bad, because most of these places, you see beautiful photos on Google Maps, on Waze, wherever, on their website, and you think it is popping until you get there and you realize that they have rats the size of humans trying to spank your butt and shit. So you need to make sure. And that's why Hello Peter is my best friend right now. And when I came across this place that I wanted to move to before choosing this place that I'm in right now, I checked this place out on Hello Peter, and everybody was complaining about one of two things. First one was the noise levels. They said that, listen, this place is really occupied by young people. There's a looking varsity college or something nearby. So all those people are all up in here, and we don't have any peace of mind. And secondly, there's construction. So there's always rats, and the rats are the size of humans. And these rats are so comfortable that they don't run away when they see you. They'll just walk up to you and be like, "Hey, baby." Exactly. So that was the second thing. Oh, there was another thing. The third thing, actually, my deal breaker for this place, well, the rats were kind of my deal breaker, but the final nail in the coffin was the fact that they cut costs with the construction, and lots of apartments use the same lock and key mechanism, meaning you share the same key with most of your neighbors.
Oh, no. That's
so,
not good.
People are just walking into other people's apartments. That's where I drew the line.
And
so,
they mentioned all of this in the reviews.
In the reviews, all of this was mentioned. But on the website, Gareth, on the Instagram page, it's beautiful. This place is stunning. It's like a lifestyle estate with a spa and a gym and a restaurant. It is beautiful. You would never in a million years think that, oh, there's rats the size of humans and there is people just walking into each other's apartments. You might just be sitting there one day watching TV and somebody wanders in. Just hear the door unlock and somebody wanders in. And some people's reviews actually said that. People actually experienced that. That people are just wandering into their apartments. So I decided, nope, I am not going to try this place out. And hence, I am here today. Thank goodness.
Nash is on fire this morning. I mean, we're finding out like about long-standing problems with the complex and the neighbor with the roaches and
no, but it's valid points. It's valid points that these things that you're bringing up, just things we can't live with. Just no,
you can't.
Unbelievable.
You can't.
Well,
in life,
Dogozo says I had to share a living space with some roaches for a month when I was an intern. It was the roaches or homelessness. Well. I mean, sometimes you're not, sometimes in some places when you get these really big, really ferocious ones, they're in charge of the apartment. You are just their tenant. So you have to deal with, you have to treat the roaches like they are the landlord. Honestly, Zanele says, I visited a guy and had roaches walking on me. The only reason I didn't leave is because I couldn't go back to my father's house at 3 a.m. Oh, my God.
Yes. I'll take the beating from my father. I'll just tell my father, Dad, I fucked up, dog. Like, I wouldn't be able to stand there, Dad. I know it's 3 a.m., but you can punish me tomorrow. No ways. I'm like going through that, like just holding strong.
And Zanella, sweetie, I don't blame you.
This woman must have a scary father, dude.
I don't blame you, Zanella, sweetie. The thing is, you can't tell with these roach people. They look just like you and I. In fact, they look better than you and I. They look amazing. They smell good until you get to their homes. That's the problem. So you have to actually do the dirty work to find out.
This is what a lot of people get away with. You see, a lot of people, they might have a nice car. They might dress really well. They might, they might be really presentable, amazing people. They might have very high powered jobs. You know, they might be impressive in the workplace. And then when you see how they live, you're like, what? What kind of person? That is one of the reasons that the only show that I sometimes, will stay watching if it comes on. Cause I mean, I'm not looking for shows to watch, but you know, that show, Come Dine With Me.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So one of the reasons I love watching that show is not for the food. I couldn't care less how they cook or any of that stuff, or even for the bitchiness. Cause people are like, I thought she, you know, she overdid the souffle or whatever. I could care less about that stuff. But the reason I like watching that show is to see how people live. Because let me tell you something. You can be poor. You can have very little money, but you're clean and you have a clean house and you live decently like a decent person. Or you can be a filthy, dirty slob and you can have all the money in the world, but you don't clean up after you or any of that stuff. You know what I mean? Right?
The cleanest people I've met are from Emakaya in the township, where it's really like the worst of the worst in terms of finances, but it's pick and span. Their shoes, whiter than my shoes have ever been before, and they're using the Sunlight Green bar soap. There's no excuse.
My dad once visited me at my previous place. I've told you about my previous place, Gareth. It was a cardboard box. And the walls are so thin that if someone sneezed next door, you'd hear bless you coming from next door. And this place was quite a cockroach fest. But thank goodness. So I only encountered one cockroach in my stay there. I stayed there for about a year and a year only. And I only encountered one cockroach. After I encountered it, I got the product. I got that 15 Rand powder from the taxi rank. I got the 50 Rand stuff from Checkers, the gel. I got precautionary measures. I actually took action as soon as I came across a single cockroach. But my dad once visited me there. And as he arrived, he saw a cockroach in the corridor. And he's like, yo, Mashiani, I just saw a cockroach in your corridor, hey? Leaving someone's apartment. Y'all are rich here. And my dad's whole thinking has always been, cockroaches are where rich people are. Poor people don't have cockroaches. Go to the township, you will never see a cockroach. But come to Sandton, every 2 minutes, just a damn cockroach.
It's because they have all the leftovers. They have leftover food in Sandton. In the hood, they eat all the food, though. There's no crowds lying around.
Here's an interesting point from Carl. Carl says that you realize on 2, 3, and 4 lever locks, there are only about 60 different keys that you can get for all those locks. So in most places, if it's a 2, 3, and 4 lever lock, you have to get a gate because otherwise there will be someone else in the complex who has the same front door key that you have.
Gee whiz. That is something very worrying.
But also, who's walking around trying other people's doors?
Exactly. It's the kind of people.
Like, how do you find out yours is the one that open mashes a room? You know, you have to experiment. Go through every house until, I got it. No thanks.
No, I love these people on Come Dine With Me, and Dogozo agrees with me. Like, cause you see how they live, what kind of kitchen they have. And you see like people who have the washing piled up in the passage in a big box, and they've got their shoes lying all over the floor, and you could see that they haven't cleaned. There's like a dishcloth lying in the, you know, in the place where they cut up their food and all that kind of thing. Some dirty ass people out there. They really are filthy people.
And what's most worrying is when they don't even realize they're being filthy, because that's just a norm to them.
Right.
And they're just like, they're on the show bragging and just living their best lives with damn dirt all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I keep saying we shouldn't have given up on the sanitizers in public spaces. Like, I get COVID is over, but let's keep sanitizers at the entries of all shops, please. And let's sanitize the trolleys just forevermore. Please, please, guys.
But good quality sanitizer, Mark. Good quality. Not that bad quality that makes your hands smell like shit and dries them out.
Yeah. No, you don't want the gloop gloop. You want that.
Yeah. The good shit. What the good shit at the doors?
This is a hell of a way to wake up on a Tuesday morning. All right, so listen, Mark, you have been caught out crying on TV. What happened?
No, so here's the thing. My friends and I, we've always talked about this because, like, obviously, we've had a vision and a plan to make it one day. Mama, I made it. So I'm on SABC One on the show called Rena Race. We chatted about it a while ago. Mm-hmm. And we do construction, right? It's usually like quite a sob story that enters. Something happened in somebody's family and they were saving up for renovation, but then the matriarch or the patriarch died and now they can't do it anymore, or mm-hmm. whatever the case might be. So anyway, before I get back to that, what I was saying about my team is like, we were like, whatever happens, if ever you get on TV, just don't ever cry on TV. I know there's this new age thing that men can cry, but honestly, no. People don't like it. You become a meme like Will Smith if you cry on TV, or Kanye West, or any man who's actually cried on TV. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's never happening in my life. But the most incredible thing happened on the episode, and this episode is actually playing next week, on SABC One at 9 PM. So this story, the matriarch, had cataracts in her eyes and it just got progressively worse over time, until she was eventually blind. So the family was saving up for the renovation, saving up for the operation rather. So they couldn't afford the renovation that they still also wanted to do because their house was in a bad state. Also, mm-hmm. lots of cockroaches. But you'll see that in the episode if you watch. That's how I know for sure this cockroach story. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is my director calls his eye doctor to see what they can do for her. And the eye doctor sponsors her eye surgery.
Yeah.
So it's a 42,000 rand procedure. She's getting it done for free. She still gets to keep the money that they were saving for the operation, and they still got their house renovated. So on the last day, the reveal day is when the family gets to see the house. So she just walked in and she could see for the first time. They literally took the bandages off that day. So the last time she saw the house, it was a mess. There were cockroaches everywhere. The walls were brown. And she just got her sight and she's able now to see her new beautiful renovated home. And it was just like the look in her eye was too much, man. I couldn't help it. But it wasn't even like a Denzel Washington one tear cry. It was like a,
you did a proper,
like they have to cut, you know? Yeah. So I asked the crew, I was like, guys, please don't show me crying on TV. It's like, no, Mark, we got you good, bro. We even zoomed in.
Well, two things. First of all, that is embarrassing because real men shouldn't be crying on TV.
Hey,
second of all, and we are going to watch the episode so we can cut the meme out and use it again forevermore.
Please, Mark, just spin me.
Just a quick observation. If they hadn't fixed her eyes, you could have pretended to fix the house and she wouldn't have known any better. And then just and save money on the renovation. I'm just saying.
Look at your new things, but well, just feel the walls. I promise you, they're a different color. But the reason why that wouldn't really work is because, like, we actually do things to help the family functionally. So before we confirmed that she was going to get the surgery. Like, instead of just tiles, we'd make a path of flip tiles, so like carpet. So in the middle of the tiles in the passageway, there'd be carpet towards the bathroom, so she feels her way to the bathroom. But then the doctor says, "You need surgery." Sorry. Yeah. But now, as you can see, so that carpet we just said is a feature. We did this on purpose because it looks cool. So we kind of like doing an exhibit thing where if you like carrots, we'll put a vegetable garden in your boot kind of thing.
Mash, can you imagine this guy? Imagine this guy pitching to renovate your house and like doing stupid shit like that that you don't need. I mean, this is what exactly why you don't get Mark and Cluley as your contractor.
Guys, I'm so good at this stuff, guys. I'm even going to renovate my own house. I'll probably get it. I'm coming to your house. And the Cliff Central house, I'm going to be the construction guy. Whatever you guys need, I've got you.
Keep him away, Mash. You can't let him near our
good luck, Gareth. Good luck, Rina. Good luck.
Luana, Mash, guys. I'm coming to your house, dog. I'm telling you.
Look, cornices,
downlighting, rendering. I know all the lingo. I know it.
But Mark, I want to find out. So this show, right, on this show, and this woman, who was she staying with? Because she was blind. She had to have had some sort of assistance.
Yeah, it's a family. So she's the matriarch of the family. She still has a husband. His name is Jeff. Really, really cool guy. And that's the thing about this family. They're like 17 people living in this tiny ass house. There's also another room in the back. Like, you know, it was a family that just had too many children. You know, it's a problem in the black community. It's like when you poor, the only thing you can do is have sex and make babies, even though you can't afford it, you know? Yeah. So that was the kind of situation. So yeah, there were plenty of people in her life and in her family. And it was really kind, like loving, warming, warm family. But yeah, that moment was just.
Doesn't matter, you little bitch. You cried.
You see, this is the problem. Now forevermore, I'm a bitch. It's done. It's on TV. I can't even lie. I can't even pretend like it didn't happen. Oh, God.
I know we've been through this thing where you know, people are encouraged to share their feelings and their sob stories. And I know that's been a thing for like maybe the last 10, 15 years on TV. And all we've seen for 10, 15 years is like this one sad story. That one sad story, this one crying, this one letting it all hang out, this one talking about their failed relationships, this one being vulnerable, all of that stuff. I'm over it now. I want to see people being strong. I want to see people being tough. I want to see men getting on TV and going, what? When someone says, tell me about your feelings. How do you feel? I want men to sit there and go, What are you talking
feelings,
about?
Fuck your feelings. Yeah. I want you to break a shoulder and still keep working. That type of shit, man. I'm so over this like anti-masculine idea because masculinity is toxic. No, being strong is great. Being a man is great. Being tough is great. Being a fighter is great. These are all things that the world respects in general. So no more nyash nyash. It's okay to cry. No, stop crying.
Half be a man. If you want to.
Yeah, of course.
You want to be vulnerable, you go ahead and do it. But we need a balance. All I'm saying is it's now it's been a lot of this crying and being vulnerable and for girls and for guys. Yeah. It's not just for guys. I think people have just had it's like up to here now. If you were an alien and you started watching TV in the last 10 years, you would think, what a bunch of whiny complaining
as YouTube, like, these guys just whine all the time,
right? And that's all they show these days. When last did you watch a show and you go, wow, that is a hard man or woman, that is a tough person there, that's the kind of person I want on my side in a zombie apocalypse? Because if you watch TV,
that I go to war with
most of these people, I wouldn't want them. They would be such a drag on my zombie apocalypse team. They would hold us back. We would be eaten.
Oh, he's a vegan. He doesn't eat meat. Now we can't kill the squirrel. God. No, so people I'm so over that idea entirely.
The idea of masculinity has just become so diluted because of this.
It has.
Mostly because of social media. And also men are not men in particular, but everyone is so scared of being canceled. And when people hear the conditions of being canceled nowadays, just speaking your mind, number one, not showcasing your emotions, just being strong, especially as a man, because nowadays women are strong and men need to be vulnerable. Men need to share their feelings and just cry together and, you know, do like a group hug all the time. That is what is expected from men nowadays. And As a result, I mean, we just end up with a whole bunch of simps. And I'm always telling Simpiwe, even in the office, that I am man. Because Simpiwe is going on all these dates, meeting these men. I'm like, that man's a simp, Simpiwe. He's a simp. You can't be with such a man. Yeah.
Fuck your feelings. Because you know what I truly feel about it is that the world is tough. It's a tough place just as a given. Prima facie, on the face of it, it's tough.
Yeah.
So it's either you're going to whine and complain and cry, or you're going to be tougher than it. And I think that's why we're also going through a lot of like depression and stuff in our generation, because our generation hasn't accepted the toughness of life. It's almost like, oh, it's so tough. Oh, my feelings. Now I must just kill myself because I can't be tougher than it. But no, you can be tougher than the toughness. That's what I believe.
What you got to remember is that every person who's telling a sad story, there's going to have to be some poor son of a bitch who's listening to that sad story. And most people, they don't have, they've got their own shit to deal with. You dig deep enough, even with the most confident, happy person. If you sit with them for long enough, they'll tell you, oh, you know, I've got no money. Or they'll say to you, my partner hates me, or sex life is really bad, or, you know, there's always something to moan about.
Oh, shit. I'm losing.
Like, you can complain. And South Africans are good at complaining. I mean, we start with load shedding and then we work our way down.
Yeah.
So, you know what it's like?
We're the best.
Everybody's got some shit going on. Everybody's got some bad relationship, some health problem, some financial issue. Everybody. So I feel like there are too many of us talking about that stuff, and there are not enough people who actually want to listen to that shit because they've got their own problems. So next time you start to talk about your problems, like this one, this happened a long time ago. It was like a year or so ago, but I remember this friend of mine, and I sent him a message like, hey, you asshole, or whatever. Cause this is how I talk to my friends. Right. And he replied with this like, oh, that's no way to greet someone. You know, I've been going through a tough blah, 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 blah. I suddenly listened to this, and he sent like a paragraph on, I think it was either on Instagram or on Facebook Messenger, one of those things. And I hadn't spoken to him for a while, so I didn't know what he was going through. And frankly, I don't care because it's not my problem. But then he starts going into this thing of, I've got post-traumatic stress disorder from this thing that happened and blah, 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 blah. But it's like a fat paragraph like this. And eventually I go, hey, man, listen. Sorry, didn't know about all of this stuff, but it seems to me like it's become very hard work to talk to you. Check you out. And I'm like, I'm out. And then I blocked this person, and I thought, I don't need that. That's like heavy lifting. And I didn't get into, that's not a friendship I care enough about to be doing heavy lifting. Know what I mean?
I'm not doing that shit. I'm not doing the them, they. Hey, it's you, dog. I'll call you by a name and that's it. I'm so over all you woke people. Fuck all of you. I'm done.
This guy has grown up in a world where he has been led to believe that people are going to pay careful attention to him, ask him about his problems, cry with him, tell him how he's going to be okay. And I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a horrible, heartless person, but I do not give enough of a fuck to get involved in this guy's post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, problems with family, attention from people he doesn't know. I don't give a shit. Sorry.
Nobody does. There are 8 billion of us, guy. There are 8 billion of us.
If he was one of my very close friends, or he was family, or, you know, then maybe I'd make the effort. But Jesus, I mean, I saw your face, Mash, while I'm telling the story. I don't think I was unfair.
You were not unfair at all, Gareth. We all have problems. And this weekend also made me realize that there are people with real damn problems. So I was planning to do treetop adventures this weekend with some friends. And unfortunately, they all flaked, so I ended up not doing it. But all of them had shitty reasons. Okay, not all of them, but some of them had very shitty reasons, while some of them had very good reasons. One of my friends, actually an actor on some new Netflix series, and he had to go to the premiere. So he was like, oh, crap, I didn't realize that the time actually overlapped, so I can't come through. I was like, okay, cool. And then another one of my friends calls me. video calls, which is odd because you know what video calls, you have to notify me first. I answer this video call and he has white patches on his eyes. And I'm like, what's going on, dude? He's like, oh, I'm blind at the moment.
What?
Sorry, I'm not laughing at that. Sorry, Matt. I just saw the comment there. Mark, you still cried. I can't escape this anymore. Sorry. I'm just, I died.
This guy, was he permanently or temporarily blind?
He was temporarily blind. He went for a surgery because he found out that he has some degenerative eye disease and it is hereditary. And it had to be done urgently or else apparently he was going to go blind. So he went for this surgery and he didn't tell me. He was like, I didn't think that this was going to be the consequences. Well, he didn't think to ask, I suppose. So he was blind and that's when I realized that, damn, this is like a really good excuse to not do something. And it's been a while since I've heard a worthwhile excuse from someone to not do something. So there you go, people. Go blind if you want to miss something in the future.
If you want something to complain about, you can do stuff.
You want some genuine sympathy, like go for an operation where they try and restore your sight because you're going blind. I mean, that's you deserve. Then, you know, again, like, perfectly healthy people, even if you've got a lot of challenges to deal with on a daily basis, you really shouldn't be looking for sympathy and expecting people to cry.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. If you are healthy and you have a bed and food, you're done. You're done. Everything else is psychological. It's in your head, but you can breathe. You can sleep in a warm place and you have food in your tummy. Ah, you're in paradise, guy. Everything else is your ego. Mm.
Wow. Now this I love, and this is in the news this morning, is that people are talking about Novak Djokovic and how fantastic he was at the Australian Open. But the most important part of this is the way that he absolutely did not bend to the will of all those people who said he must get the vaccine. He refused to get it. He said, I already had COVID. I don't need the vaccine. I have a natural immunity because I've already had the disease. And all of these stupid countries, I mean, the United States, Australia, they said, well, then you can't play tennis here. So he couldn't play last year, which meant he had to forego having the tie record for the best like record ever at the Aussie Open. Anyway, he went back this year and he fucked it up and he stood there and he raised that trophy and it was a big middle finger to the Australians who tried to keep him out. This guy is a champion and he didn't have to throw away his principles in order to be at the Australian Open and win. So I just want to say I'm a big fan of Novak Djokovic. He's a hero for doing what he did. I am still bitter about having taken the vaccine. If I could go back, I would. Done it, and good for him because he's a stronger man. Well done, Novak.
For real, he didn't bend to the pressure. He didn't go out and apologize for being a human being. Man, I'm so proud of that guy because the fuck apologizing, man. You guys, like, you're not human. Get out of here. Get out of here. It's people who are looking for a way to feel good about themselves without actually doing anything.
Propaganda says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So cry. It's like a good fart and then move on.
Okay. There is that other side of it. I mean, like, it is a genuine emotion. So it's, sure. I'm not saying press it down and pretend you're not feeling those things, but don't come with that. I'm a crier. I just love to cry. I'm over it. No. Some things you don't need to cry about, guy. Just breathe and you'll be fine.
Little Paulo is saying, Mash is going to make Mark cry with all these stories about blindness and everything, you know? Yeah. Cause he cries now like a little bit all the time.
No, I feel like I shouldn't have mentioned this, guys. Okay. Don't watch the show on Thursday, guys. I don't want to be a meme. Rather just look at me now. I'll show you guys my biceps.
It's fine.
I'm a man. I'm a real man. I promise.
Yeah. He says with his shirt still on. All right. So Zach says, good morning, GCS people. It's been a while since I joined in live. Gareth, I caught up with yesterday's show. Your lounge looked better than ENCA's new studio's grand opening. Yeah, well, I mean, look, obviously, you know, we're still figuring out a lot of things with the sound and, you know, technically what we can do, and our actual studio is still being built. That's going to be very cool once it's in. But we're moving as fast as we can, and all I can say is, like, it's been a really busy January. So look forward to loads of things happening in February, March, April, May, all the way through to the end of the year. It's going to be a busy year. It's great. Ad B also says, I also regret taking it. Our employer forced us. Yeah. Yeah. Those employers have got to, like, they've got to come and account for themselves, because we've subsequently found out that this vaccine is not like a vaccine. You know, when people told us about the vax in the beginning, they're like, it's a vaccine, but actually it isn't, because a vaccine is like the one you get for polio or measles, mumps and rubella. You get it, and that means you can't get the disease. With COVID, that was never the case. It's like a flu shot more than a vaccine. Well, you get the flu shot. Sometimes you'll get the flu. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes it helps certain people. It doesn't help other people. So we shouldn't even be using the word vaccine, because then you do get anti-vaxxers. You know, you get these crazy people who won't give their children any vaccines at all. Polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and they can get very, very sick. And I think that's dangerous. But this thing is not a vaccine. And I think the people who were forced to do it, I feel sorry for them. And I feel, even though you might not have any adverse health, if I haven't had any adverse health effects, I don't feel like it's hurt me in any way. But I don't like being forced to do things. The minute you force me to do things, I'm angry with you.
Anyway. And you don't want to do it, even if you were going to do it anyways.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, so the worst part was the fight. I remember in the beginning when the pandemic first happened, because people are so attracted to fear, your ordinary person. Mm-hmm. So when you were rebelling against, because my first feeling was like, this is weird, guys. Like, this is so strange that somebody's telling me where I can and can't move, what I can and can't do. That just on the basis of the idea is weird. Like, even if it's to protect me, which I still have my doubts about, but like you, Gareth, I hate people telling me what to do. But in that beginning, you were such a anti-society person, if I may call it that.
Oh, no, they called us.
You're a granny killer. Oh, you don't care about people. Oh, it's not, like, God, guys.
Despite the fact that I got the vaccine myself in, what was it? September of 2020, somewhere around there. I can't remember, but I got it. And then, because I needed to travel the next year, and someone came into Cliff Central, some doctor who should be ashamed of themselves. And they said, when they called, they actually canceled their appearance on one of the other shows. It wasn't even on my show, because they said, oh no, Gareth Cliff's an anti-vaxxer. They went after me when I got the vaccine, and I wasn't saying on the air, you shouldn't get this thing. Mm. Why would I say that and then go and get it myself? Anyway, I remember this and I thought, what a son of a bitch. This person calling me. I mean, you remember
creating his own narrative.
Do you remember how people were saying horrible things about, like, oh, well, if you don't have the vax, you shouldn't be treated in a hospital, for example, and all that stuff. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people should account for themselves and be ashamed of their behavior, because subsequently the drug companies themselves are saying this thing never prevented transmission. Remember how many people they strong-armed into doing this because they said, if you don't do this, you're going to give other people the disease. Turns out the vaccine didn't stop that anyway. So a lot of us went and did it because we thought, well, last thing we want to do is infect other people. That would be wrong. Mm-hmm. So we went and did it. It turns out that's not what it did anyway. You know? Yeah.
And I find it crazy how these companies, they force people to take the vaccine, the likes of Dis-Chem. How we seem to have just forgotten how these employees were treated in that time period.
Right.
Yeah. I must admit, I felt like a pariah in that time, because I say it now, but I didn't there. But I haven't taken the vaccine. But that's because I've got a really good immune system, like slave genes kind of thing. So I never did, but I felt like such a social pariah at the time. Like, I even lied to people because the pressure was so, like, real, like, obvious. Like, that's why I respect Djokovic so much, because he's like, you know what? Fuck everybody. I should have been like that. But I was like, yo, I got it. Yo, faster for me. Yo, that Johnson. But I didn't get it, dude. It was a wild time, because the social pressure was unbelievable. And that's why I'm kind of getting to a place where, you know, like, fuck the imaginary world that exists on the internet. There's stuff happening right here in real life that is real and hard to deal with and is enough to deal with. I don't have to deal with this other made up universe where we all have this same idea, but it's not really. We're just staying to the same idea so we don't feel excluded. Nah, I'm excluded, Oaks. I'm an outsider. It's fine.
Well, listen, you know, I just want to quickly, before we get to 7 o'clock, I want to talk about that interview that I did last week, which was really wild. It's this true crime story. Mash, I don't know if you got a chance to see it over the weekend.
Wait, and the murder that shocked Britain.
Okay, yeah. So
that changed Britain. I think that's what it called.
Yeah. That's right. The murder that changed Britain. So it's a CBS original that we spoke about last week. It aired exclusively on CBS Justice, which is DSTV channel 170. I know you're a big fan of like true crime stuff. I'm not really, but I mean, this story is pretty gripping. It's also available on Catch Up for those people who missed it. So I spoke to a guy called Professor Paul Britton, who was the forensic psychologist who was involved in this case. And he has kept his silence for 30 years. And he suddenly came out and told the whole story about the murder of Rachel Nickell. And it was fascinating. They reunited this investigator with the guy who was wrongfully accused. I mean, the show is just scary, scary stuff.
Oh, now, Gareth, poor Colin Stagg is all I can say about that. And I just wanted to bust in while you were talking to Mr. Britton and just ask, like, why 30 years? Why did you keep quiet for an entire 30 years? I have so many questions. Oh, Gareth, I just have stress thinking about this this show. I just have stress. And Bona, Operation Edel.
This is a hell of a story. So it all happened back in 1992, which, believe it or not, is 30 years ago. And this woman was murdered in Wimbledon in London. Her 2-year-old son watched the whole thing, and her death would lead to this incredible investigation and one of the most terrible miscarriages of justice. In case you didn't see the interview, you can go and listen to my discussion with Professor Britton, which is available on podcast right here on cliffcentral.com. But what I suggest you do is you also watch this amazing show, The Murder That Changed Britain, which is on CBS Justice. That's DSTV channel 170. It's really, really wild. And there's a lot there. They're still digging stuff up. There's some unsolved parts of this that nobody's talking about. There's who, if Colin wasn't the murderer, who was the murderer? You know, it's very confusing. Ooh.
Gareth, it took them 16 years to find the real killer. And during the investigation, they charged this poor guy. And it's just so disheartening. And it just makes me angry. Just watching it made me so mad. Just so mad. Mara, it's something that everybody should be checking out. Bona, CBS Reality got us sorted. They got us sorted.
Well, I've told you before, one of the things I can't stand is that there are these stories of wrongfully accused people who end up going to jail for a long time, or they put them to death with a death penalty in countries where that's the thing. And I just always, I can't watch these things properly. I got into like a quarter of this documentary and I had to stop watching, because when I know that someone's going to jail and it's not their fault and they didn't do anything and they're wrongfully accused, it drives me up the wall. I can't watch movies like that. I remember watching that Green Mile. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah. The Green Mile.
Oh, my God. That movie still sits in my head and drives me crazy. When I think about all these true crime things where it can go so horribly wrong, drives me crazy. Can't watch it.
That just makes me angry. And I love being angry. That's the problem. That's the problem.
You're such a South African, Mash.
Well, if you want to watch it,
something.
It is the murder that changed Britain. And, you know, there's been this 30-year scapegoating of the investigative officer, misinformation, just fake lies, nonsense. You can watch it all on DSTV Catch Up, and it's worth having a look at if you go and check that out. It's still on Catch Up now. All right, so Mash is here. We're also here with Mark Mdluli, and we will catch up on a whole bunch more in the next little while. Got some guests popping in. We've got a busy Tuesday morning, so stick around. The last day of January, 2023 already. First month of the year gone. Out of there. And we've got to talk about this just now. Mash wants to talk about these pots. This is
I can't wait.
That's coming right up, so don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. Good morning on this excellent Tuesday. Things to do, people to see, places to go. CliffCentral.com.